It's time for Taking Care of Business on Midlands 103. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
Midlands 103.
Let's talk business indeed. Hello and good evening. And very welcome to Taking Care of Business here on Midlands 103 with me, Ronan Berry. Coming up on the show this evening, Limbo. Their CEO, Rurik Bradbury, will be here to talk about raising $6 million in seed funding for their weight loss app. He'll also discuss their global growth plans and their plans to open a research centre in County Leash early next year. Also, vouchers from your local Chamber of Commerce are the perfect gift for family, friends and employees. Find out exactly why from Caroline Hoffman of Leash Chamber Alliance, John Gagan of Mullingar Chamber, Alan Shaw of Athlone Chamber of Commerce and Roger Guiney from Tullamore Chamber a little bit later in the show too. The voucher scheme has been running for a number of years now and they have been, let's put it straight, an out and out roaring success for the chambers too. So find out all the intricate details and more importantly how you can get those vouchers and how you can use them to reward those people closest to you this holiday season as well. That and lots more updates on what's happening across the region throughout the next hour. But I suppose to begin, I better give out the text and WhatsApp number because as always, I'll invite you to be part of the conversation here on Taking Care of Business. You can get in touch with me here in the studio by text or WhatsApp on 083 3010 103. Always happy to have your input on that. So get those phones out and we'll keep an eye on the score of the match. Maybe if I see anything happen there, I'll let you know what's happening in that big match in the World Cup this evening. But earlier this year, particularly when the invasion of Ukraine happened, a lot of focus went on the potential fallout from it, from not just a human point of view, but from point of view of energy. And, we thought about things like grain, food prices going up as well. But one thing that has gone through the roof has been the cost of energy. And it isn't showing much signs of relenting. So back in the budget last September, the government brought about the TBIS scheme. That's the Temporary Business Energy Support Scheme that was brought in to assist businesses, those businesses worst hit by rising energy prices. So it all sounded fairly simple. Was it going to be something as straightforward as the pandemic unemployment payment where maybe you go online, you sign up and your business gets that money back, badly needed cash to keep your business afloat after what had been a very, very tumultuous time and a difficult time for trading, and then you got faced with this energy crisis. So to find out exactly what is happening with the TBIS scheme at the minute, I'm glad to be joined by John McCann of MCM Accounting. John, will you just give us a brief recap of the scheme and what it aimed to do when it was first announced in the budget?
Good evening, Ron. How are you? Now, I suppose we've taken a little look at this, and it's a relatively simple process in many ways, because what the government have said is, look, if your unit charge, and that is the unit that you pay per kilowatt of electricity, increases by more than 50%, they will refund you 40% of that increase. And that sort of approach, I suppose, has been extremely welcome. They can't take on the cost of everything, but in fairness, it's actually very good. It's a very big, large, lump of the budget, because I think it's valued on their estimates for something like $1.2 billion. So it's a significant help to businesses. I think you need to kind of know the limits, and I think you need to know where it is. It's not going to be the be-all and end-all, but it's certainly a significant contribution.
Okay, and that's an important point as well. I know recently there was a lot of talk that when the application forms opened up online, they were far from straightforward.
And that's the problem. So the first thing to remember is, like, step one is they're going to give you only 40% of the increase. So they're not going to give you the total increase. And I think, to be fair to the government, it would be unreasonable for them to do so, because they can't do that. They've also put a limit of 10,000 of a subsidy to particular businesses every month. And that would be significant in terms of, if you were a huge energy user, let's say you were a cement manufacturer, your electricity bill is going to be an awful lot more. How that's dealt with in terms of cement manufacturer, maybe the costs just have to be passed on to the customer, but essentially the government will only subsidize that to the view of 10,000. Now, if they said if there's two different locations, it would be 10,000 per location. They do supply a particularly lengthy document which goes on to 67 pages, and this was issued on the 26th of October. There is a more updated one, which I think goes on to about 70 pages sometime in November. But the principle is that if you are a business, and you have to be a business, and that means an unincorporated business or an incorporated business, that means if you're legal, if you're kind of a limited company, or alternatively, if you're a partnership or if you're a sole trader and you are trading, in other words, you fall under case one or case two income. And that's something maybe you can refer to your accountant about, but excuse me, most trading companies are included on that. If you're a sole trader, you either fall into case one, that means you're a trading business, or if you fall into what they call case two, your profession, that in other words, an accountant, a solicitor, an architect, all those sort of professions as such, you do qualify. The second thing is that your increase in unit charge must be over 50%. So if we take a very simple example, if your rate is 20 cent per kilowatt and it increases to 30 cent per kilowatt, that's a 50% increase. So therefore you qualify. You also have to be tax compliant, and that means that your taxes have to be up to date. That does not factor in warehousing. If you warehouse debt, that's ignored for the purposes of tax clearance. So there are three very, very important points. The one thing that it does not include, and it will include certain charities to the extent they trade. And what if you give an example of, let's say, a rugby club and it runs a bar, to the extent that the bar electricity arises, that's where you'll get a subsidy, but you won't get the subsidy on the clubhouse and other bits and pieces. If you're a management company whereby you run an apartment complex and there's central lighting, etc., something that I'm involved in where our electricity bill has gone from 3,000 to 6,000, there's no help. They do detail it very well in the various documentation that they send us. So the first thing is there's an eligibility issue. So if you fall into those bits and pieces, then you're in. The next thing is you've got to make an application, and it's very, very well documented, and it's actually relatively simple on the revenue website. But as everything is dealt with by the government or revenue, is that there's always an agenda. You've got to fill in what they call a carbon footprint survey. Frankly, I think this is absolutely outrageous. It's ridiculous. It is stupid. It is only to be expected from our public servants and our government. And I think it is very much a green stamp. This is supposed to be assisting business, not collecting information. So if you don't apply, they're not going to collect the information. So I personally think it's particularly stupid.
But yeah, like I think it's coming at a time when, you know, and we all appreciate it, like the big businesses are now obliged to, you know, record and report their carbon footprint. But you're talking businesses with over 500,000 employees. It's hard to see how the relevance or why that's needed for a business of the size that we're talking about now.
Well, Ronan, I can guarantee you this is going to go into some government body or some group that actually do the survey, and it'll make no difference. If they want to actually do a proper assessment of our carbon footprint, there's a better way to do this. This is about helping businesses that are going to suffer, and if they don't get the loot, you know, they're going to run into difficulty. So that has to be done. Now, what's very interesting is it is a condition, and I'm going to be very cautious about what I say here, it is a condition that is completed. There is no condition that it has to be right. Now, that sounds like an awful statement for an accountant to say, but you know what? If the government were that stupid, and I'm sorry I have to use that word, and I just no words to describe the stupidity of it.
And is it just around the theory of, say, like sort of carbon footprint, or are there more details and more information?
Well, the sort of details are what's your oil usage, what's your ESB usage, what's your, there will be usage, let's say, in terms of wastage and a division of wastage. So if you were, let's say you're a restaurant, you're going to have wastage of food, you're going to have wastage of paper, you're going to have wastage of other products. They want an analysis of that. If you're a business that runs lorries, or if you're a business that runs vans, or you're a business that pays significant amounts of, let's say, expenses to your employees for running their own cars, you've got to fill out this. And you have to say to yourself, lads, get off the bus, leave us alone. If you want to deal with that issue, deal with it separately. And but the one thing I will say, the good thing is, there are no penalties if it's wrong. Now, I'm being very careful what I say.
I think you could see potential merits in gathering that data, because if you can find out what the big costs are, like who's very dependent on oil or gas, or you know who are the big electricity users, and maybe then come up with you know further schemes to help those companies you know improve their energy efficiencies or maybe change the way they heat buildings or the way they're heating water, whatever it is in their processes, that's fine. But maybe have that as a follow-on to the initial application, because a lot of businesses need cash right now.
Exactly, because this particular scheme refers to your ESB bill. Now, I say ESB, I'm sorry, I'm just using the term electricity, or gas bill for September, October, November and December. So it's a four-month period, probably the worst period that in terms of, let's say, heating and things like that. But, you know, they may extend it a bit further. I don't know whether they will. Now, what is important to realise, if we just get past this carbon footprint, which I've kind of expressed my you look at your September bill in 22, you compare it against 21, and if your unit charge, and it's very, very specific to your unit charge, has increased by 50%, you must have your claim in through the ROS system, which is the revenue system, by the 31st of January 2023. Your October must come in February, your November must come in March, and your December must come in April. So that bit is relatively simple. Now, the other thing that's really, really important to realise, and in fairness to the revenue, they've probably given simple tools so as to ensure that, look, it's easy enough to determine whether I've got a 50% increase or I don't have a 50% increase, and it's on the revenue website, and it's relatively easy, and there's lots of links. The one thing to remember, because, and this is our experience of EWSS and TWSS, the revenue absolutely love to check. And if your claim is invalid or if there's something wrong, they absolutely love to lash on penalties and interest. And there are provisions there. If you don't do this and you don't do this properly and if you're taking a chance, you could end up paying your penalties and your interest, which are quite significant. In other words, if you make a claim and you shouldn't have made a claim, they will look for their loot back and they will look for interest and they will look for penalties. This is something to be very aware of. And they're not afraid to do that, because our experience has been, even though we submitted information on the EWSS system, which you had to give to revenue, and then they decided whether they were going to give you that money, they'll say, oh, Nancy, we just checked the records. We said we gave it to you, but we shouldn't have given it to you, so now we want it back. So, and I don't mean to sound a bit snotty about it, but it is important that you do this. Either you do it yourself or you do it with your accountant. Really, really important that you get a bit of professional advice and have a look and say, if I have to, because ultimately you're going to have to pay an accountant somewhere along the line, like accountants don't do it for free.
We know
balance that trade. And it's important that you just do that trade-off, because the last thing you want is to have to give money back in, let's say, and this isn't going to be done at the end of April. This is probably going to be done towards maybe September 2023 when the company's trying to get your tax returns done and so on. They really pick their timing very well. But it's important that you actually understand it and get proper advice before you race into it.
And of course, the actual finance bill itself has to be enacted later this month. So until that is officially enacted, you know, it's not actually going to happen just yet, but we assume it will. There's been no issues there so far. So I suppose looking across your own clients as well, John, are many people approaching you about it? Like, is it something you're actively doing on a daily basis?
There's quite a number of what we've been a little bit careful there, Ron, and we've kind of stepped back a little bit. We've had a look at what is actually required. Revenue have opened it up now, so we know what's required. We need to be able to go back to clients and say, are you okay about the carbon footprint? There's generally no issue about eligibility criteria. That bit is fine. But are you prepared to do the carbon footprint, yes or no? And ultimately, we'll be saying to our clients, look, we've got to do it the best we can. Are you prepared to do it, or are we prepared to do it? So, as I say, this is something I'm saying with great caution. You do the best you can and get it in. It's only conditional that you submit this this carbon footprint survey.
Yeah, and you might actually
It's not auditable, you know, and it's not. They can't put penalties and interest on you if you get it wrong.
Yeah, and you might assume some of that information might be readily at hand anyway in terms of filling it in because of energy uses. But John, look, thanks. I think it's very important to point out those kind of key steps on that, and also that there are timelines there. You need to get them in within 4 months of the claim period and that. So, John, after
just
all
be prepared. Yep. And the last point is just be prepared. There will be an audit at the end of it, because revenue don't give money without checking.
That's it. And your accountant will always charge you as well. That's the other key message, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. John. It's going to be a bad day if we don't.
John, all I can say is look, from myself and from all the listeners Taking Care of Business, thank you for all your contributions over 2022. We look forward to catching up with you again in the new year. Mind yourself.
Thank you, Ronan.
That's John McCann there from MCM Accountings in Tullamore. So if you are looking at that temporary business energy support scheme, just always check the fine points on it as well, and you know, make sure that there's more to the application than just filling out a couple of simple forms. But again, it's a big incentive there. It was a scheme that was very much welcomed when it was announced in the budget too, but there are of course some timelines. So check it if you can do it yourself. Check in with your accountant or with somebody who's been through it already or is undergoing that scheme, and just make sure if there is money there for you that you can get it and that you're happy that you've met all the criteria and move on. Because, you know, as we've just said, there are so many businesses that are just in need of that injection of cash, and any help they can get could be greatly appreciated. But I keep thinking of that scene in Father Ted with Pat Short when he says about it was my money, I just didn't want to fill out the forms. That there's an element of that in it as well. Like, just give us the money because we're genuine businesses, and let us keep going. Anyway, time for me to stop ranting. Coming up in about 10 or 15 minutes, the CEO of Limbo Revolution will join me from New York City, because they have raised $6 million in seed funding already, and they'll be opening a research centre in County Leash early next year. It'll bring jobs, but it's a very exciting product and it has massive global potential too. Big Irish investment and Irish interest in that product. So find out all about that very shortly. But coming from New York City and talking about global domination, right back to where it really matters too, is on the local businesses, people on the ground, and people trying to give each other gifts and presents and reward employees and whoever it might be over Christmas. Well, your chambers of commerce or your local chamber has been operating for probably a voucher scheme for a number of years now. So here at Midlands 103, we got together and we said we'd do a little bit of research into the various schemes that the various chambers have in place. So you're going to hear from some of the chambers of commerce now about the voucher schemes, the impact they have locally, how you can use them to reward employees. You know, if you're a husband and wife team, there's some really interesting incentives there too. But the actual trickle-down effect or the multiplier effect that buying these vouchers has across your local community. So to begin, Roger Guiney from Tullamore Chamber takes us through the voucher scheme that they currently operate.
The local shopping voucher schemes really had their genesis around 2008, the aftermath of the crash, when the small business benefit scheme came along, allowing employers to grant up to €250 a year tax-free to employees as a little gift. And it was great timing, it was all about save our streets. But now the scheme allows up to 1,000 tax-free per employee, so really it's a really, really useful thing to do. In Tullamore, our scheme is called Quids Shopping Vouchers, and the Chamber of Commerce runs this with the Tullamore Credit Union. What's great about this scheme is there's no cost. There's no fees to employers to purchase them. There's no commissions or redemption fees to retailers. There's no clawbacks like on prepaid money cards. There's no funny stuff compared to, say, One For All, where you might be charged up to, one time I was quoted 17% for a commission, but it's about 10% to 13%. In terms of why would you do this? Well, for employers, it allows you to give your staff tax-free rewards. For if you're a husband and wife, PAYE, director of your own business, it allows you to get €2,000 tax-free out of your business. So why would you not do this? Many large outlets in Tullamore take the voucher, like Tesco, Argos, Woodies. For that, in terms of shop local, it's a lot of payroll circulating around, so we're supporting local payroll. But for the smaller outlets, they have to try harder. We have to procure, curate, and do a lot more to get people in the door. So it's a real bonus to them to see Quids circulating as well. And they're really useful too. It's not just for shops. You can pay for cars, insurance, home heating, holidays, and so on. Really, we're expecting 2022 to be a bumper year for voucher sales. And this is really because the tax-free allowance has doubled up to €1,000. But really, for many employers, it's offering a way to deal with wage pressure. So we don't really know what way we're going with energy-led inflation. Will it subside in a few months? So the voucher scheme really allows you to give a temporary pay rise, and then maybe, you know, March, April time, see where we really are with inflation and what you need to do with your employees long-term. But short-term, it gives you a real cost-effective way to give a substantial tax-free financial benefit to your employees. All the information needed can be found on our website, tullamorechamber.com. Happy Christmas to you, all at Midlands 103, and all our members.
And a happy Christmas indeed to everybody at Tullamore District Chamber of Commerce and all their members too, from all of us here in Midlands 103. Moving on then, Leith Chamber, its CEO Caroline Hoffman also spoke about their voucher schemes and about the massive impact one voucher can have in their local community. John Gagan then, the president of Mullingar Chamber, also speaks about their voucher schemes and about the impact it has when used in Mullingar too, and again puts out the question as why people would probably are more likely to shop locally this year rather than taking a commute up to one of our big cities. Here's what both Caroline and John had to say.
The Leith gift card is proudly supported by Leith Chamber and local enterprise office Leith. It can be used in over 100 retailers across County Leith and in over 7,000 retailers throughout Ireland.
They're redeemable in the town of Mullingar. So unlike a voucher from different competitors that you can redeem at any retail shop in the country, this keeps the money in the local economy. And we think like that, it's got a value of 3 or 4 times what we actually see in turnover. So we turn about 300,000. We reckon that's worth about 1 million, 1.2 to the economy.
Whether you visit a local coffee shop or a local retailer, you create a real ripple effect of positive impact for your local community. Our amazing local businesses give back a lot by supporting our local communities, whether it's supporting the local GA or sports club, a school, or local charities that do tremendous work in your area. Shopping local has a really positive multiplier effect for the area, which means that for every €10 spent on Irish product, it generates more than €40 of benefit to local communities.
On the fees, like, we only charge a redemption fee of 1.5%. which would be equal to the lowest rate of any credit card point of sale company. So it's very efficient that way. And some of the other gift voucher schemes charge up to 7 and 12%.
As well as charging a lot more, that the issue with certain vouchers can be that they're limited. It's limited where you can use them. Just give us a flavour of some of the places and some of the things you can do around Mullingar with the vouchers.
Yeah, look, we would have 115 businesses registered to redeem vouchers at the moment. However, we will redeem them from any business that produces them. You know, so we're open to anyone who has a business in the town who takes in the vouchers. We cash them for them if they present them and they're valid. You know, so it's very, very flexible. It's designed that way. And we want to get more than 115 businesses on. We'd love to get 200, 300 local businesses involved.
Every Saturday in December, shoppers can park free of charge for up to 2 hours in Port Leith, Port Arlington and Mount Mellick. This is another great reason to shop local and support our brilliant local businesses in Leith.
I suppose the retailers in the town are doing a superb job at marketing what they do, and we have an incredible array of shops in the town, you know. And we always have a very busy Christmas in Mullingar. There's free car parking in the town for a number of days over Christmas, the same as there is in Athlone. And we would think that this Christmas particularly, a lot of people are encouraged to shop locally and maybe not travel into the big cities. And with the energy crisis, I think there's less people going to drive to Dublin on spec, you know, and we probably will see more trade in the town centre itself. Yeah, so basically, if someone sends us an email in Mullingar Chamber, clicks into the website, they can order the vouchers through an email online. They do a credit transfer, so you transfer the money in to buy the vouchers, and then if you present at the chamber office, we'll hand over the vouchers, because effectively they are cash, so we have to be very careful how we handle them. And then the business who cashes them in or who receives them, we will redeem them for them within 20 days of presentation, but normally within a week, we'd have the money back in their account.
It's quite amazing when you hear that €10 spent on a voucher locally often contributes about €40 of a net gain back to the local economy too. So again, they are a great idea because, as John and Caroline have pointed out too, as well as Roger, you can spend them in almost anywhere around your town as well. Now, some chambers will have specific companies that will accept the vouchers. Others are more open that they'll cash them from any company within the area, as John has pointed out there too. So to get a little bit of an update as well on what Athlone are doing this year, Midlands 103's Cameron Clark caught up with its president, Alan Shaw, a little bit earlier this evening too. And here's what Alan had to say about their voucher schemes.
The Athlone gift card was launched back in October of 2021. It was a new initiative by Athlone Chamber of Commerce, and we have launched it in conjunction with Me2You gift cards. So these gift cards are secure and regulated independently by Me2You. The gift card, as I say, was launched in October 21, so it's now with us over maybe 16 months. It's going very well. We expect our sales in 2022 to be around $250,000 and growing. And we'd like to reach a point in the next couple of years where we're hopefully selling in the region of €1 million of these gift cards, where we ring fence the funds then to be spent in the retail of the Athlone area. So the initiative is primarily to support local businesses, local retailers in Athlone. And we know that they're hugely beneficial to employees and indeed employers who want to reward staff through using the tax breaks that are associated with gift cards.
Alan, you said you're aiming for about €250,000 in value sold this festive season. Is that a big jump on last year's figure?
It is, yeah. We only started last year, as in 2021. We would have come in just around 100,000 or a little bit under it in 2021. So, look, we're hoping to double it this year. There's a couple of big employers that have latched on to this card that want to support local. There's, you know, one multinational company now acquiring these cards for their employees. So an employee can receive up to €1,000 in a single voucher or in two vouchers or in two gift cards, and they can be spent locally then tax-free by that employee. So it's a great way of rewarding your key staff, particularly at Christmas time, end of year. Employees have worked very hard during the course of the year, and you know, it's nice to I suppose be able to give something to employees that doesn't have to be taxed, and you know, that's a win-win really all around. And because the Athlone gift card is designed to benefit local traders, then it's of particular importance to the Chamber of Commerce that we encourage our local employers to support this gift card, because of the fact that, you know, the money stays in the local economy, and that is a huge multiplier effect in the town, and, you know, really helps to support the idea of building our town as a regional growth centre in the Midland region, you know.
And that's it. And it goes to, as Alan has pointed out, the Red Loan Chamber, they issue a gift card, as do Laois Chamber Alliance, both Tullamore and Mullingar offer it in kind of a voucher scheme. But as John Gagan and Mullingar says, it's effectively like cash as well. And the Tullamore Quids ones would be similar in ways. You get the little voucher. It looks almost like a monetary note. But again, just a great way. All chambers are kind of really putting it out there that it's a fantastic way to reward staff or employees. The money stays locally then. There's great incentives there from a tax perspective. They're tax-free, and actually the upper limit was risen in the last budget as well, just to allow people to avail of that even more so. So look, at overall, it just seemed to be an absolute win-win. Most people have kind of gone through how you can actually get them there. For Laois, it's just go to laoischamber.ie and you can look up their gift card and make an inquiry about buying them as well. And likewise at loanchamber.com if you want to find out more about Alan Shaw and his team. So well done to all the chambers there. Great initiative, and really putting that focus back on keeping the money local and getting people to shop local. Well, my good friend Joe Cooney just stuck his head in the door and stuck two fingers up at me, and I thought I'd done something wrong, but no. Apparently things are getting a bit messy for Croatia at the minute. They're not exactly taking care of business. Thanks for the update, Joe. I won't tell you exactly what's happening there in case you don't want to know. But anyway, now moving on. I was mentioned before I went to the break that a company that is looking at going to dominate the global market when it comes to kind of health and fitness and weight loss using an app and some wearable technology is about to establish a research centre in County Laois. Earlier today, I caught up with its CEO, who's based in New York, Rurik Bradbury. The company is called Limbo. You can find out more about him on limborevolution.com. But to begin, I just asked Rurik about, you know, how Limbo came into being, and indeed why it came into being in the first place.
Sure, thanks for having me. I'm very happy to be here. We actually started Limbo at the beginning of the pandemic, and where it stemmed from was one of my co-founders, Pat Phelan, who's a Corkman, and his personal trainer and a physiologist, Tony Martin. They together tried an experimental system which used blood sugar as a way to do weight loss. And Pat had actually used this from when he got back to Ireland from the US. He and I had a company in New York, which we sold to TransUnion. And in the process of this, he put on a lot of weight. He became very unhealthy, and we were worried about him. So he got back to Ireland, he did this experimental program, and he lost over 40 kilograms. He's absolutely transformed, energetic. And at the beginning of the pandemic, he and I got to talking about this, his miraculous physical transformation. And we thought, well, if we could turn this into a platform that millions of people could use, that would be a wonderful thing for the world, a wonderful business. And so that's how Limbo came about.
I suppose people would be quite familiar with Tony Martin. He's one of the top performance coaches in this country. So what was the kind of secret sauce? You might be able to let us in on that, but what was it that really worked? And I suppose, why did the relationship between Pat and Tony throw up this opportunity for you?
Well, it's a funny thing. It's often these pairings which are unlikely. Pat is a kind of a techie. He's built lots of tech companies. And Tony is very much the opposite of that. He is a deep expert in the science and the physiology, but as far as using a computer, he is, let's just say, he's not a deep expert. And so he had all the ideas, and with Pat, what they saw, and then me joining, is a way to implement this as tech.
So given your own experience, then, when it goes then to kind of take that in and start building a tech platform, how did you set about doing that? And what were the kind of key deliverables that you needed that platform to return for ye?
Well, the really essential thing for us is that we have wearables and an app. And these wearables send a very rich data stream, including blood glucose, so the energy of the body, which is the currency of energy. And that data stream in the app and then in our cloud service, it allows us to understand what a person is doing, what they're eating, when are they eating, is it the right amount, the right time. So for the first time, we have a weight loss system that's actually powered by the body's data. And it can tell you the right things to do, the way you should lose weight that's right for your body. Because it's always been very difficult. You've always had to have guesswork. So you've had things like calorie counting, or you've had kind of doing a certain number of steps or exercise, or you can look on the side of the box at nutrition ingredients. It's very confusing, very difficult. And also everybody is different, but the side of the box says the same type of thing. So to be able to know how to lose weight exactly right for your body makes it so much easier, less painful, more effective.
So with the data that you're taking then from, say, individuals, you're going a lot deeper than people might be, say, used at present with the likes of a Fitbit or a similar type watch that might be taking kind of sporadic readings every now and again. Is that fair to say that you go a lot deeper then and you're getting that data that is unique to each person?
Yes, it's definitely a lot deeper than the traditional kind of fitness tracker watches. But also they're only looking at one aspect of life, things like steps and heart rate. We're looking at all of that plus glucose. So we actually give all our members a continuous glucose monitor, a CGM, and they're tracking 24/7 their blood sugar, and that goes into the platform, and the platform sends back tips, nudges, cajoling, praise, you name it. So it guides the person exactly what they need to do.
And in terms of taking this to market then, you have a couple of thousand active users already. What sort of feedback and results have you gotten from those so far?
Well, what we've seen actually is that the people who have been doing the program this year, they average between 10 to 15% of body weight lost in 3 months, which is an extremely short time span to lose that much weight. And most people who've tried to do weight loss, it's tough even with traditional programs to lose 10% in a year. So what we've been able to accomplish is to put a significant bit of progress in front of our members in just 3 months. And that's very heartening for people who've often tried and struggled and failed. They're very demoralized. So to be able to do that quite quickly, it's wonderful.
And if somebody takes out a subscription with Limbo, is it very much self-led after that, or is there an element of coaching within the app too?
Well, there's a lot of coaching within the app. We think that people really want to be told, here's the right steps for you. Do this, do that, and it'll work very well. We don't think that most people are going to want to be experts at physiology and blood glucose measurement and that type of thing. So the whole idea is very much, we'll guide you, let the app steer you, and it'll put you on the right path. It'll give you tips and very specific directions how to get to your goals. It is very much self-service as a system. You can simply just go to limborevolution.com, sign up there. We will ship a kit to you. And then from that point, you know, the app will guide you how to set it up and everything like that. But the actual app experience itself is a mixture of human coaching and AI that pushes these customized messages to the users.
Well, clearly something is working for this because, you know, you've mentioned that some of the people who are behind this already and the expertise and the different knowledges that they bring to it. But I say something is going quite well because you've recently raised $6 million in seed funding. How did you go about that, and what was it you think convinced investors to put money into Limbo?
Well, the company that led the seed round is Hoxton, a venture capitalist in London, possibly the best European VC. They funded Deliveroo and some other big names in European tech space. And what they saw that was really exciting is that we have an actually data-driven weight loss system that works. So they looked at some of the testimonials and the case studies, and I think that they realized this is the real deal. And given that the market size, the number of people who struggle with weight, it's just an enormous number of people have this issue. So that's what brought them in and made them excited to invest, I think.
I think having somebody like Pat Phelan, you know, behind it too, and someone who's actually used it as well, is probably a great testament and a great case study for them. But even having Tony Martin as well, I suppose he brings a huge knowledge base too. Is probably much one of your biggest assets at this point, is it, the work that Tony has done over the years, and that is now effectively being harnessed in this piece of technology?
Yes, it is. It's wonderful to have, because he essentially had been doing for almost 30 years, deep research into this area, but it's with the platform that we now have a chance to take this out to the whole world. We also have some other investors who are well known: Jamie Heaslip, the rugby star, Des Traynor, who founded Intercom, and a number of others who are widely known in the tech sector. So we've got a group of people together who I think can really get this out to the world very effectively.
Yeah, if you're raising $6 million, you know, as a startup that really only began during the pandemic in 2020, that's an incredible achievement already. So the big question is, what comes next, and how far can this go for you? Like, can you put some numbers around what the global potential of Limbo might be?
Well, the number of people who are pre-diabetic hundreds of millions of people around the world. So that's people who have too much sugar in their systems. They probably eat too many carbs and sugars, and it's the pathway towards diabetes. And then the obesity stats are also hundreds of millions of people have significant obesity now. So the market size globally is very, very large. And it's a problem that's getting worse in almost every country. It used to be that there was a stereotype of the, you know, the overweight Americans eating fast food and so on, but that's become the overweight everybody. So almost every country in the world now has an obesity issue. Even countries that had food shortages just a few decades ago, they're starting to have an obesity crisis. And so, you know, potentially this is a huge global company and really does a lot of good for the world, I hope.
And when we mention global, the interesting thing about it too is that County Leash in particular possibly has a big role to play in the future growth of Limbo. Can you take us through what your plans are locally here?
Yes, so the first base that we started for research analysts was in Cork, which is where Tony and Pat are based. But we're looking to create new research centres around Ireland, and the idea is that they are close to the core research centre and in the same time zone, and so a lot of our early members are in the UK and Ireland, and so we're looking at a new research centre, hiring people with biology and physiology backgrounds in Leash in Q1 potentially, and ramping up to 10 people by the end of the year.
It is fantastic to hear that there is going to be a Midlands base on that too, and that, you know, what is, you know, highly tipped potentially to be, you know, that global seller and a very successful app as well. From your own perspective then, yourself and Pat Field in particular, I know Pat has a vested interest in this one because it proved so successful for him, but do you see yourself, is this something you'll be involved in forever, or do you like to come and develop these businesses and possibly sell them? What does the future hold for yourself with Limbo?
Well, I think that there's many, many years ahead. This is not a problem that's going to be solved very quickly. And there's so much more we have to do in terms of how the app works, how it can optimize your life. So there's a lot of work ahead of me. I'm not going anywhere. I'm very excited.
Absolutely. We might welcome you to County Laois very shortly, hopefully. Rurik Bradbury, thank you so much for taking time to talk to this evening, and plenty to look forward to here in the Midlands with the arrival of Limbo.
Thanks so much, Ruin. Pleasure.
Again, limborevolution.com is the website on that, and it's going to bring some jobs and, you know, there's huge potential to County Laois too. Actually, one investor at Rurik, and he said to me afterwards that he neglected to mention, was a certain guy called Shaquille O'Neal, a name that is fairly famous worldwide too. So really a strong team there in terms of expertise and investors behind Limbo. So I think watch this space and see what comes in early 2023. A quick look at some business stories. The Cabinet has tonight approved a major overhaul of the country planning laws. The updated planning and development bill will see On Board Planola renamed, and will also see the introduction of stricter timelines for planning decisions. As part of the bill, fewer people will be able to take judicial reviews of planning decisions. Laois Offaly Fianna Fáil's D. Barry Cowan says it was a much needed change.
Statutory time period being put in place for On Board Planola to make decisions in the same way as local authorities have a statutory time period for them to make decisions. The length of time it was taken was far too long. And needed to be addressed, and was an endangerment, I felt, to the ability to act on permissions, to act on developments, especially at a time when there's a pressing need and indeed a crisis or emergency, whatever you want to call it, in relation to the provision of housing.
There, of course, has been much talk about planning over the last number of years too, but unfortunately for me, time is up for this evening. Next week I'll be joined by a panel of business leaders from around the Midlands. We'll review the year that's been and look forward to the year ahead. Talk to you all then.
Taking Care of Business returns next Tuesday at 7 p.m. with the local enterprise offices of Laois, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.